so much for us. You may be seated. Thank you. We'll have our word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful love to us, for every blessing that we have each and every day. And we thank you for the salvation that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do pray your special blessings upon the service today, that we might truly rejoice in all of your goodness, and that we might be encouraged and strengthened as we look into your word, that we might find some guidance, leadership, that we can serve you better. We just ask you to bless each and every one of our church people. Thank you for each one, and pray that you'll guide and direct us all in everything that we do. We do pray, our Father, your holy will be done in all that we undertake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Today is the day. Sign up, right? We're in Matthew chapter 13. Before Christmas, we were going through the book of Matthew and the parables of Jesus. And so I thought, well, now that we finished the other one, we'll go back to this. Matthew 13, and beginning at verse 33, we're going to look at some of the parables here of the Lord Jesus. Verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them: The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have you understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, who brings forth out of the treasure things new and old. So may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's turn in our hymn books to page 521. 521. Let's have a word. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just rejoice in all of your goodness to us, to know that our names are written down in heaven, that we're your children and that we belong to you. We just pray this morning, our Father, for the need of each and every one who is here. You know our hearts. You know how we feel this morning. And we just pray that you will give us the strength that we need to keep going. We pray for any who may be discouraged, downhearted, that they might be lifted up once again and rejoice in all that you have for us. We do pray this morning, our Father, for Steve and for Dawn as they are preparing for the missionaries that's coming on Tuesday. And we just pray that you'll bless that them as they travel, keep them in your care, meet their needs. We thank you, our Father, for this pastor that wrote to us from India. It rejoices our hearts to think that people are tuning in, listening, and hearing the word of God. And we just pray your blessings upon all those who are listening on the internet. We pray that there might be many that would hear the word of God and would profit from it. We do pray, our Father, that you might send revival. Lord, we think of these young people in these chapels and places, praying, singing, rejoicing. And Lord, may it be real. Oh God, would you please make it real in every heart? And we pray that each one of us might also be encouraged and strengthened as we seek to know you better, as we seek to be revived. Oh, how we need it, Lord, as we live in this sinful world, as we think of all that's going on around us. We think of this man that was murdered when he went to the cemetery. Oh, God, how terrible can it be? We pray for his loved ones, the Durhams and Taylors and others that are sad and weary over this terrible thing that happened. And we do pray, our Father, that you would just help in our situation. We think of this policeman that was killed, I think, last night. Pray, dear Father, this teenager who ended his life for him. Oh God, how we pray that he might somehow repent, turn to you. And Lord, we ask you to help us all to look to you for every need that we have. We look forward to this movie coming up on Friday night. We pray that it might be helpful to us. And we pray that you'll bless in the upcoming banquet and all the other things that we're seeking to do to draw us all closer to one another and closer to you. Help us, our Father, to look to you and know that you're with us moment by moment and day by day. We thank you for the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, these parables that we're looking at, and pray that we might truly receive something that will be helpful to us as we live our lives from day to day. Lord, we pray for our country, pray for our leaders. We pray that you'll give wisdom and understanding and help us to live our lives in keeping with your holy word. May Jesus Christ, our Savior, be glorified, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 13. Verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. This is one of the famous parables of Jesus. You know, the kingdom of heaven has been promised throughout the Old Testament by the prophets. John the Baptist announced that it was at hand. But now Jesus reveals to his disciples that the long-awaited kingdom has been postponed because the people refused to accept their king, and they eventually crucified him instead, and the anticipated kingdom was not set up yet. Jesus explains that he will someday come again, and the kingdom will be realized in all of its glory. But until that time, the kingdom of God exists only in a spiritual form. Paul says over in Romans 14 and verse 17, he says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of him." So we find here the kingdom of God in this day in which we live is a spiritual kingdom. We are all a part of the kingdom, but someday it will be realized in actuality here upon the earth when Jesus comes again. So we have now internal kingdom in our own hearts. We are part of that kingdom. There's also the sense in which the kingdom of God includes all of professing believers. You know, we talk about Christendom and all the different religious groups of Christians, so forth, that some are saved and some are not. We know that. But the kingdom is included in a sense as all of these people together. He talks about that in some of these parables. Jesus points out what the kingdom is like during this age. As we noticed in the parable of the mustard seed, we saw it before, the kingdom began in a very small way, but grew, become a very large influence in the world. You know, it started off with just the disciples, right? And then on the day of Pentecost, they had more people added to it, and it went on and on until today. The kingdom, in its influence at least, is worldwide and has made all of this progress as far as that is concerned. So these are, we find here the parable of the leaven, as we see here, has a similar theme. It talks about something very small that grows, right, and influences a great deal more. And so the parables are teaching that the kingdom of Christ will continue to grow and ultimately triumph. Now, I know it's a long ways coming, right? And we've seen a lot of things that certainly don't seem very godly in what we call the kingdom of God today, or the kingdom of heaven, as it's taught. But one day Jesus Christ will reign, right? Amen. He will be the victor over all. And we're looking forward to that day. But until then, we have to live our lives for him and seek to be a good influence as much as possible on those around us. So we find here, in spite of the presence of evil and the power of sin and Satan, the power of the kingdom is so great that it will continue to grow, and that these parables are a message of hope. Jesus expressing to the people here Evil will not prevail. God is going to establish his kingdom of righteousness, right? Someday. All right, the kingdom of heaven, it says, is like to leaven. Now, leaven, of course, is like a yeast or a sourdough type of thing, where back in this day, at least, they didn't have it already packaged up for you. You had to just take a little bit of this sourdough and put it into your bread. Now, we know I'm not a cook, so I don't know about this, but I'm sure that these ladies know all about it. And you put in the little bit of sourdough to make it light and fluffy. You know, unleavened bread is what they had many times there in Israel, especially, and for the Passover supper, they insist on unleavened bread. God says don't put any leaven in it at all. So leaven many times is a picture of sin and things that are not good in God's sight. And that's part of what Jesus is teaching here. But he says here, he speaks of a woman taking the leaven, placing it in the meal, this large amount of meal. It says 3 measures of meal, so that it would become changed, right? You put the leaven in, and that would eventually rise and make the food taste better, hopefully. And with this woman, and notice the way it's said here, a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Why would you have to hide it? I mean, you know, there's something that's not quite right about that. And yet, part of the parable, at least, is teaching a very simple fact. This was woman's work. It says a woman was doing it, so it's natural that she would be doing this. It was this 3 measures of meal, they said, was about 7.5 gallons. Of meal, so it's quite a lot, huh? And it sounds like a lot, but it was used many times. It says over in Genesis, when Abraham and Sarah were entertaining the heavenly guests, you remember? It said the angels came and the Lord was well with them, and they told her to go and prepare 3 measures of meal so that they could have some food. So apparently it was a normal thing. But here we find this little bit of yeast was enough to completely change the entire meal. Okay, now in one sense, what does the meal talk about? The grain. Jesus has already said that the seed that is sown is the Word of God, right? So, the Word of God. And to add something to the Word of God, we were talking about that a little earlier, about the name of a church or something, a new story. We don't need a new story, do we? We need the old story. And that's what we have here. And if in one sense, to add something to the gospel, the Word of God, to change it to something completely different, and which is what is happening a great deal. In our country, people have all kinds of ideas about what the truth really is, but we need to stick with the original and not try to change it. But at any rate, we find here that this leaven was powerful enough to change a great deal. Change the dough and make it, it makes it taste better. So everybody, they're happy about that, right? You know, rather than just have a flat bread, don't have any taste to it, you've got this nice fluffy yeast bread, right? Tastes a lot better. So naturally everybody likes it. Huh? But And the question is it good or is it bad? And this is changing. The 11 represents, in one sense of the word, I think you might be able to take two different viewpoints on this, but anyway. One thing is, it could represent evil doctrine that's added to God's word. We see that, right? That to change it and creates a pleasing thing for the people, but it's not necessarily the right thing that they need to hear, right? If you tell everybody, oh, you're in wonderful shape, everything's great, you know, oh, we're all happy and we don't need to do anything, right? Everybody's going to end up going to heaven. Now, there you go. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, that's a good message if it were true. The problem is it's not true, you see. They're adding something to the Word of God. And so that's one thing we have to be careful about. And the leaven, in that sense, is pictured as evil. In the Bible, it's often used to illustrate the effects of sin and evil. And over in Luke chapter 12, notice what Jesus says. Let's take a look at that a minute. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. Here we are. Boy. Where in the world? That's a long chapter. Here we go. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, Jesus began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You see? So here already we have the leaven used as something bad, right? Hypocrisy. For the Pharisees, of course, were those who claimed to be following the Word of God, and yet so often they added so much more. You remember, had all these different rules, you see, that they added to what God had said. And Jesus says that they are hypocrites. They claim to do something, but they don't. Notice it says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. So he's saying here, beware of what the Pharisees are teaching you. They're teaching you to be hypocrites. And don't allow that to happen. Jesus is, he says again in another verse of Scripture, he says, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See? Now, the Sadducees, who were they? They were the liberals of the day, right? The Pharisees were the fundamentalists, right? The ones that followed the Word of God and supposedly obeyed it. The Sadducees were those who said, oh, well, there's no such thing as angels. You know, there's no such thing as life after death. You know, we just live in this life and that's it. So he says, beware of both of them. Be careful not to follow the teachings of the Pharisees nor of the Sadducees. So you have to follow the Word of God and not allow anyone to turn you aside from that. So he says, beware. And then in Mark 8:15, it says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Okay, so there again, we see leaven is used continually as an evil thing, right? The Pharisees with their hypocrisy, The Herodians were those that followed the government, right? Just, I guess, blindly, like so many people today. You know, anything the government tells you, what? You believe it? Right? Oh, well, we won't get into that. Did you see where they shot the balloon down? You did see that, right? Yeah. All these things that's going on around us. And Jesus says, watch out for these guys, right? Don't be taken in by the leaven of Herod. He's teaching you something different. Don't follow that. Then Paul speaks to us in Galatians chapter 5. I'll just read this. It says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's what he says there in Galatians. He is a warning against legalism. In this case, in the book of Galatians, it's all about, you know, not following after the legalism of the Pharisees and other groups like that, and affecting the church. Now, we know, of course, that this does happen, and we add something to what the scriptures teach, and it's always a bad thing, right? So he says, don't do that. And then I want to read this in 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. I know it's here. Oh, here it is. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Here he's talking about someone who has sinned, and it says about this person, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens a whole lump? So that must have been a saying that they had, I guess, back in that day. And he says, be careful. Now, he says, this person who has sinned, he needs to be chastised, he needs to be disciplined, he needs to repent, right? And so he says in verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see? So there's that constant illustration of leaven as being an evil thing, right? And it says here of malice and wickedness gets into your life and causes you to do the wrong things. And he says, be sure you have sincerity and truth, unleavened bread, like they had in the Passover. Paul's saying, don't follow the old life. Do not allow your old lifestyle and habits to influence you, turn you aside from following after the Lord. Be new as a Christian. And be sincere and honest, trustworthy in your life. Now, when the Israelites left Egypt, they were commanded to eat only unleavened bread at the Passover. They were not to allow anything of Egypt to influence their new life in God's new home for them, as they would be leaving the old life of servitude and sin. So they were to turn aside from that and to live for the Lord. So he's saying here, be careful about the leaven, that it does not influence and change what God has said. That's the main point, I think, of that, is that it's something that we need to be sure we're following God's word, right? It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? So we follow his word and not that which someone else has contaminated with their extra teaching. G. Campbell Morgan, one of the great preachers, wrote that the leaven represents paganizing influences brought into the church, you see. So instead of following God's word, they follow after these false teachers. And here we are. So Jesus said that the leaven is the kingdom of heaven that's influencing the world. And we have to be sure that we are following God's word instead of allowing these extra ideas to get into our church and into our lives and not stay true to Christ. And to follow him in this way. So this is the important thing and we want to think about in this particular parable. Then there's the other ones here that he mentions a little later. We'll take a look at those on another time. But to keep ourselves in the right frame of mind and heart as we seek to live for the Lord and to look to him for the needs that we have. So take out the leaven, purge out the leaven, and walk in righteousness before the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. We just pray that we might understand the words of Jesus and seek to follow the pure teaching of the word of God and not allow anything else to swerve us from the truth. May your holy will be done. Guide and direct us by your Spirit and lead us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, now.